body. Yeah. Rock your body. Yeah. Everybody. Horror movie night.
Watching Leprechaun 4.
All right.
I would have done, I thought it was better without the all right. just not rhyming at all.
Yeah, because neither does Warwick Davis in this film.
Warwick Davis gives it 110% in this film.
But the screenwriter didn't.
Yeah. No, the screenwriter didn't, but Warwick Davis and Robert Englund, you guys can say whatever, but any role that they get, they treat it like it is the most important role of their life, because it is.
Before we dive into this, I do want to make this reference, because Brian, you're the one that introduced me to the show Life is Short.
Oh, man.
Starring Warwick Davis, where he plays himself.
Oh, Life is Short because he's a short person. Okay.
Yeah. And he has the one line where he's talking to kids about being an actor. And he's like, you know me from Willow. And everyone gives him a blank stare and he goes, you don't know Willow. Okay. Well, Willow was a movie that cost millions of dollars. And we made a lot of that money back. And I feel like that sums up most of Warwick Davis's career. It's like, we spent a lot of money and it made some of it back while we were doing it.
God bless Warwick.
Leprechaun 4. In Space, picked by Brian.
This is one of those movies that I made the questionable decision of watching it in such a way that Megan could see what was going on the screen.
So this is the second time that we've ever done a Leprechaun movie on this podcast, for the same reason that it's March and it's close to St. Paddy's Day. And we're like, ah, well, whatever, fuck it, we'll do a Leprechaun movie. So I will say, because the previous one that we did, I believe, was Leprechaun 3, right?
Yes, Leprechaun 3.
Which,
that's the one in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Neither one of these is particularly good movies. This one's more absurd, but I think Leprechaun 3 is a little bit more watchable.
Leprechaun 3 is way more watchable, strictly due to the fact that the Leprechaun, first of all, doesn't have insane power creep, and second of all, actually fucking rhymes all the time, which I think is very important for the character.
Yeah, well, and I also feel like Leprechaun, if I recall, and I could be wrong, but up until this point, and I also think after this point, the Leprechaun's basically like Wishmaster. Like, you're like, oh, I want a pot of gold, or like, oh, I want to have a perfect body, and then he like makes an awful version of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this one, he's just killing people.
Yeah, and his power creep is insane. Yeah. But she doesn't even like him. He just wants, and I don't think he likes her either, because he calls her a bitch a bunch, which I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just the go-to word to describe any woman by a villain in like circa 1982 until 2000.
Until today, 2017. Apparently. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
The first three Leprechauns have such an endearing factor. And I haven't seen this one in forever, and I was hoping for the same endearing factor, and it lacks it. And it's also the people that did the special effects, I believe, are the same people that made math blasters that used to play in elementary school.
Special effects were so fucking bad. Megan kept looking over and being like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's worse than Arcade.
They're trying so hard to do like this sci-fi Star Wars wannabe absurd bullshit, but have none of the budget to back up any of the decisions that they threw into this movie. So like, you get the Robo Doctor and it just looks like trash. Ridiculous. It just looks like a guy standing behind
the least
trash.
Terrible. He's the least terrible, straight up. No, I mean, like, yeah, it's not great, but oh man, there are so many worse things in this film.
Well, like that guy with the half head
doesn't match his like persona. Like, he has this like weird aggressive like juggernaut type face, and then he just sounds like the psychiatrist in Animaniacs. Like, it just doesn't match up at all.
I mean, I think they were going for like evil German scientists.
They're going
like,
for Dr. Evil.
Yeah, but they just didn't. Yeah, it doesn't work. None of it works. This movie, I was so upset that there was no closed captions on my DVD for this
movie. So you couldn't watch it fast?
Yeah, so I couldn't do it at 1.5x because I'm like, I don't want to sit here for 98 minutes. I don't.
And it's a slow watch. It is such, like, nothing happens. There's nothing titillating in any sense of the word
and
in this film.
And people love this, but I feel like it's got to be an ironic love. Like, it's got to be like that. Like, oh, this is because they put the leprechaun in space and then everything goes into space from that point. Like, that's why I love this movie, because it's
I think people need to rewatch it because they will realize that they were wrong about enjoying this film.
Horror movies that take place in space are not good. Let me rephrase that. Horror movies that original doesn't take place in space, but like later sequels take place in space. Are not good.
I would say the only one that did it semi-successfully, but again, it ties to space creatures in the first place, is I really, in my later years, have grown to love Critters 4 when it used to be my least favorite one. But again, the critters are space aliens, so like it makes sense for that to eventually end up in space. Jason in space? No.
No.
No,
no.
No
Jason's...
you continually ruin his
dude. I'm
double feature.
Just no. That's not my double feature. It should be because I'm actually just to spite you. I'm going on our Trello. Hellraiser, Bloodline. It's all in fucking caps now. It's
all right.
Top of the list, just because you decided to disrespect. Sexy ladies in corsets.
This.
What are they doing in space, Scott?
Yeah. Dude, it doesn't matter. You get two distinct conceptual visions in Hellraiser Bloodline. You get in space, which is absurd, and you get back when the puzzle box was made, which is also absurd.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? We don't have enough film to shoot both of these movies that shouldn't be made. Let's just smash them together.
You're gonna be real fucking embarrassed when you watch Hellraiser Bloodline and you realize that I'm right.
How long is Hellraiser Bloodline?
Like 80 minutes. It's not that long.
Okay, this was 2 hours.
This is a long 2 hours too.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's only 94 minutes, but it feels like 2 hours.
No, it was 2 hours because the only way that I was allowed to watch it was through Pluto TV, which offers like free movies and free channels, but with ads.
Oh, and God.
It was like, remember when we started watching Community, or when you showed me Community, and it was the same Chase commercial with the Footloose song, where like after like 10 minutes is always, now I gotta cut back, doo-dack, check back the brand new slacks. It wasn't a song, but it was the same commercial every 10 minutes. And like, they don't try. They don't actually have someone watching it for commercials. So
no.
Like, it was cutting like mid sentence, like they were just throwing ads in random places. It was a tough watch.
That really sucks.
Yeah, it was tough, but I didn't pay for it. So plus,
well, you know, neither did I.
Look at us.
So I mean, there's not even a plot to really go over. I do have a couple quotes.
Oh, wow. I have notes for this that I'm just like, I'm on Trello, not even looking at my notes. I don't know.
No. I have notes. I only got like a page of notes, but like there's no plot. Like it's like there's a bunch of space mercenaries and then a leprechaun's loose. That's your plot.
And Megan, so she looks over right when the guy with the half of a metal head comes in and she's like, is this making fun of Starship Trooper? I'm like, this came first. And she was like, no fucking way. This was 96. Starship Troopers was 97.
Yep.
Ooh.
So one of the first quotes that I have written down is, shake hands with the big guy, which is just an awful thing to say to a human being.
Yeah, I have that too. I don't remember.
But that big guy explodes off screen, implied big guy explosion. Because he's talking about his dick, everybody.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify.
Oh, and I have something that I want to preface this whole discussion with. I mean, I know that we're already, 10 minutes in, but This is the shittiest Doom movie ever.
There's one really redeeming scene, but it's not so much later in the episode, so I will wait.
I wonder if it's the same thing that I hate it with a fiery passion, but
I hope not.
So yeah, the leprechaun makes his big appearance, bursting out of a dude's pants.
Well, we see him beforehand. He's trying to woo this space princess who is angry that her daddy is philanthropic and gives away all of their money. And so he's like, I'll give you gold. And that's not exactly how the powers work, but okay, I can let that slide a little bit. And then and Megan's like, what the fuck is she wearing? Because the space princess's outfit is basically like Slave Leia, but with more face paint.
And shit tons of glitter. She looks like a glow wrestler throughout parts
of
this
movie.
Yeah,
but like not in the good way.
No, like in the first season of Glow where they made their costumes on their own.
Yeah.
So I want to get to when the leprechaun actually starts like wreaking havoc because...
Oh, and you also don't even get to see boobs when they're supposed to be having sex and then... Leprechaun out of the dick trick happens. I mean, it gets me every time. Leprechaun out of the dick. Just
never see it coming.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Apparently you don't see it coming because it destroys your penis and you die. But also what I don't understand is, did he need to get in that guy's dick to get on the ship? Or was that just because he's a creepy perv?
It's because nothing makes sense in this movie.
Yeah. That kind of shit bothers me.
Someone told me that the dude's dick blows up when I was a kid, like before I saw this movie, but I was aware of the other Leprechaun movies, like, oh man, Leprechaun part four in space, like a dude's dick explodes, it's crazy. and like my theory based on what I had seen in all the other previous movies was like, okay, Leprechaun's hanging out with a dude and the dude's like, I want a bigger dick, and he's like, you got it, and then it just like explodes because that would make sense in the continuity of the
Leprechaun movie. Let's make a new Leprechaun movie where he only rhymes and it's all about giving somebody big dick. But that also happens in Leprechaun 3 when the woman wants bigger boobs and he gives it to her and then they explode.
Yes. Which is fine. It would be continuity. Equal opportunity giant body part explosions. That's what my leprechaun's about.
Yeah.
Like, then the leprechaun just starts like, so all of these mercenaries are trying to kill a leprechaun, and I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I was like half awake watching this movie, so I may have missed some stuff.
So were the guys that wrote the thing.
Yeah. But there's a scene where they're like, where's so-and-so? I don't know. We'll say Jimmy. And then they look over and there's just a skeleton covered in blood inside of a hazmat suit.
Oh, it's because they have this thing that's like that. They have a space that's in the ship for no apparent reason that is filled with flesh-eating bacteria. And they have to go in there to try and find the leprechaun. And leprechaun shoots the guy or something. I don't understand the power set of the leprechaun at all anymore because this movie makes no sense. But he shoots the guy and they're like, we're going to get you out of there, Johnny. And they don't in time. And then he gets completely destroyed by the flesh-eating bacteria. And it looks hilarious.
Yeah. It's so funny. I laughed out loud when I saw them pan over to it because that's like, I could put that in my house at Halloween.
Like, no, yeah, that is like 1950s horror sci-fi.
It's House on Haunted Hill. That's true. Yeah. What it is.
But at least
House on the Haunted Hill comes full circle and was like, oh yeah, no, that was a fake skeleton that I, Vincent Price, made. Leprechaun.
Spoiler!
Is like, oh yeah, spoiler. Sorry, guys. Leprechaun 4 is like, no, that's really a skeleton. That's a human.
So here's the thing. I want to skip ahead because there's so much trash that doesn't need to be mentioned in this movie. But so they go, they finally meet Robo Doctor, and he's like, look, I had a contract with you, and that contract I can expand whenever I want, so I don't care if your contract's up in 24 hours. I will double your pay if you kill this leprechaun for me. And then the leprechaun finds his way into the laboratory anyway by taking advantage of the robo doctor's horny assistant, where leprechaun poses as a girl naked and says, help me, they tore off all of my clothes. And Then the leprechaun's voice comes out of this gorgeous woman.
And it's awesome.
And it's upsetting.
No, I love it. Also, that woman, for some indiscernible reason, had a no nudity clause. Because you don't...
Because if you're going to be naked, it better be for something that's not Leprechaun 4 in space.
Yeah.
I call that having standards, Scott.
I think that not being in Leprechaun in space is where your standards...
You've got to pay the bills. But you don't have to flash all the goods to pay the bills. That's not fair.
I don't know, man. The space princess flashes her goods, and they are not that good.
I tried to avoid even notes about it because I was like, oh.
Hey, Brian, what happened with that?
Yeah, so, tell us about that.
So I missed that scene. And I was looking at my phone because the movie was a chore. And Jade was like, thought those boobs were better. And I was like, there were boobs. But I was trying to say it not so interested. Like, oh, there were boobs. And then I was like, it looks like I have to rewind. And I said it like that to read her. And I read that she was not going to be happy if I rewound this movie.
To see
so
this.
I said, I'm kidding. So I kick back and I relax in my chair and I slowly pull out my phone and I Google Leprechaun 4 boobs and it brings me to Pornhub and I silently watch the clip while Jade is a stone's throw from me.
So, hey, the fact that someone uploaded that onto Pornhub.
Yeah, like how ridiculously bottom of the barrel is that?
Actually... Give me a second, because I realized that I didn't even read the comment section.
Oh, man. Pornhub comments is the best part of Reddit now.
Yeah. I got to see. All right. Da-da-da. Rebecca Carlton tits. Zero comments. What a letdown. Zero comments.
So have you seen I still haven't figured out if it's real. I kind of want to go try to track it down. But there's the guy who posted all the videos on Pornhub. And they all have like 99% freshness, but it's all just
a freshness label.
Like people can rate it and you get like a score, like a percentage or whatever. But all of them are like 99% or higher. And the videos are just called like me, your stepbrother, politely declining your advances. like another one was called like me doing the dishes for you without you ever asking.
It's porn for women. I get it.
Yeah, it's so funny. But like the fact that not only is it on Pornhub, but it's so well rated on Pornhub just makes me so happy. let's jump to what I think is, in quotes, the best part of this movie, but like is really just the most
pile of shit.
Yeah, it's the most interesting little break in reality. The leprechaun gets into the lab, and I wrote, "What is this Looney Tunes bullshit?"
The pancake face kill. Yes,
that's the best scene. That's the most. That was what I was talking about. Is the most redeeming scene in this movie.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane that because it doesn't fit anything else that's happened. Like if the rest, of the movie
clap back right there. Yeah, dude.
If the rest of the movie was that, it would be a much more enjoyable movie. But it's just this one accidental thing that fell into the movie.
But it's not accidental. They spent so much time on that.
Yeah,
it's great.
Like, and then he makes that weird like spider and scorpion thing, and then he just shoves this needle into the back of the dude's head and it somehow turns him into all of the fighters from Arena at once. Like that's when he gets up, he screams, "I can walk," but I literally thought he said, "I can fuck." Like I had to, I had to rewind it. I was like, what is happening? And then it breaks into a musical number. There is a drag show musical number in the middle of this movie.
Yeah, and I fast forwarded through it because I couldn't handle it.
Everything just falls apart. Like there's this split second where you're like, okay, maybe Leprechaun redeems itself. And then it's just like, nope, here's
gotcha.
And like, what was our obsession? Because this had to have been the same year as Lost in Space, which also has the villain turn into like a spider creature. Like, why was this such a popular motif in the 90s that space movies, someone has to turn into a half spider scorpion
thing? You missed the most important spider transformation, Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Well, yes. I mean, that goes without saying. That's a masterpiece. Everyone else is trying to match that. And then, like, they shoot Warwick Davis with a growth ray.
Oh, my God. The giant leprechaun looks like shit.
It's the worst green screening I've ever seen in my life.
But he checks his hammer, and he gets really excited. That's another good scene.
But then they open up the escape hatch or whatever, and he gets sucked out. And, Brian, you do a lot of editing for us.
Uh-huh.
I have all the confidence in the world that you could do the visual effect of the leprechaun exploding its face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just like, I don't know, just make them like bubble towards the screen a little bit, and then we'll just insert an explosion over top of the video. I don't know how to do this.
Dude, yeah. Star Wars, the first Star Wars came out in 77, right?
Yeah.
So when Alderaan gets blown up, it's so much better than when the leprechaun gets blown up. So I've got two comments about this film, because that's the end of the movie and they hug and the token black guy's like, books, yeah, all right on. So awful. Just very offensive. So what is with this podcast picking foot fetish movies? Because Sick, Sadistic Insane Clown Killer, had the, I can't wait to get you back to my truck. And he's like, you wanted to suck your toes? And then this...
wanted to suck my fucking toes.
God damn it, Denise.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is. I don't... I'm not angry at you anymore about that pick. I do appreciate it for what it is in the scope of horror movie night, not as a person. So that, and then we got this guy, the assistant scientist here. He's like, who looks like Scott Evil.
I was going to say, so not Scott Evil, but like every time that he was on the screen, I'm like, he looks like someone that I feel like I should know.
He looks like Scott Evil in Austin Powers 2. Is that The Spy Who Shagged Me?
Yes.
Yeah. When he's losing his hair.
I mean, he looks like that. He looks a little bit like Jim Carrey in Batman Forever when he's got like the long red hair and the dorky glasses. Like, he just looks like a bunch of more famous things.
Yeah, yeah. That guy's not a good actor either. But he's like sucking on her toes with the space princess's toes. And Megan's like, what is this misogynistic shit? And I'm like, I don't know. And I started fast forwarding. But the male gaze was just too much in that scene when the space princess was passed out. But the other thing,
just throw something in another direction. Megan, look at that.
That only works for the dogs. Just give her a Kong filled with frozen peanut butter. Keep her busy for 20 minutes.
I'll cut that for you, Scott.
No, keep it. Anyway, the other thing that I have a question about that I don't know if you guys can answer for me, but since I was already at the point where I was so over this fucking movie, the biologist, the female protagonist who lives, you know, who has the no nudity clause, she loses her pants at some point. So she's walking around in her tank top and like the high hip early 90s panties, but I don't know where her pants went. Do you guys know where her pants went? Does anybody know where her pants went?
Just put some like pictures of them and hang them around your town and maybe find them.
Has anybody seen my pants?
Yeah, no, I also zoned out through large portions of the movie.
I hadn't zoned out. I was fast forwarding furiously just to get to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad one, but you know, you got to learn sometimes. You got to sit and watch trash. And be
everybody
like, oh.
Hurts.
As Jim Kelly says, every time we go to a restaurant, that's food is subpar. Well, now we know.
He does. That is his quote every time.
He is so optimistic. He's pessimistic in everything
except
else.
Except for food.
But when it comes to food, if we go to a shitty restaurant, he's like, well, you know, now we know. And we just won't go back again.
I feel like he's like the George W. Bush of restaurateurs. Is like, got a saying, it goes, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, can't get fooled again. That's Jim Kelly.
Love it.
So let's just pass along anything else that we missed and go right to our double features.
Miguel A. Nunez Jr. was in Scooby-Doo with Linda Cardellini, who was in The Founder with Michael Keaton, who was in Beetlejuice.
All right. So as is, I guess, become the custom on the show, Brian, you picked this piece of trash. So what was your double feature be?
So I can't think of the name, but I know what it is. So give me a second.
All right, then.
It is starring, and if you guys want to interrupt me and tell me what it is starring Ice Cube, and it is in space, and it is a bad movie. Fuck.
Friday in Space?
No.
Man, I would watch that, though.
Ghosts of Mars.
Oh, Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
Someone paid Stephen Bay. Stephen Bay, where are you, buddy?
Yes, a terrible,
he
terrible
loves
movie.
And hates that movie.
With special effects that should be better for the time period.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit. Yeah. Isn't that John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars?
It's John Carpenter. Yeah, John Carpenter. He throws his name on everything, so it's not just Ghosts of Mars. It's John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah. And it's not even like a produced. It is a written and directed by John Carpenter movie.
Oh, no, this was... Listen, my friend once said a thing, and I stand by it. He goes, I will always respect John Carpenter because John Carpenter just makes movies for John Carpenter. And sometimes they work for the rest of the world, and other times they don't, but it never stops him from just doing what he wants to do.
Well, but I feel like he got pigeonholed.
Yeah.
He never wanted to make a horror movie.
Yeah.
He never wanted to. The closest thing to a horror, they made him make Halloween, and the only reason he made Halloween is because the only thing he ever wanted to do was remake the fucking Alien movie. That he got to remake.
Oh, the thing.
No, the fucking, it was a 1950s one.
Village of the Damned.
It's got the teacher from, didn't he remake the one with the teacher from Animal House?
Are you talking about Invaders from Mars?
Invasion
That's Toby Hooper.
Yeah, well, no, he did not do the Invasion of the Body Snatchers movie.
Oh, maybe,
he did the thing. He did the
maybe
thing.
Maybe the thing is what he wanted to remake.
Yeah, because it was the thing from another world, which appears in all of
Halloween,
his movies.
Yeah,
gotcha, not all of them.
Right. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, features Halloween 1, the Halloween classic.
That's true. All right, so Scott, do you want to, because I have a feeling you and I might have the same thing, but
you're
might be wrong.
You're going to be absolutely wrong. Well, I'm kind of torn here because, one, I would want to have a really good movie after this. So I'm thinking Aliens.
Okay.
Ooh, Aliens.
That is a really good pick because it's very
– them.
Yeah, it's very stylistically the same, too, in the sense of, like, mercenaries on a ship and things are going – yeah, it's a good call. It's a good call. You kind of already spoiled mine,
Starship
but I guess
Trooper.
More so – yeah, Megan spoiled mine because Starship Troopers.
I think that Starship Troopers is a better fit for Leprechaun 4 because they came 1 year after another and they're both not taking themselves super seriously. So that's why I'm saying Aliens is like a really good movie and I almost don't want to have it as my double feature because do you really want to mess with the tone of the night that much? I mean, I think you do because Leprechaun 4 is so bad.
Yeah, no, you. I mean, I think that after watching Leprechaun 4, you might be needing a very dramatic shift in tone.
Not me, baby. Not me.
But yeah, so that was Leprechaun from Leprechaun 4. I won't sully the classic.
Yeah,
Leprechaun 4 in Space from 1996, as picked by Brian. So thanks for that.
I guess.
You didn't pick Laser Blaster for your double feature?
No. So we will be back next week with a movie that we can say is just on the fringes of being a horror movie.
Sorry, guys.
But it's got exorcisms in it, so that's a good thing. So tune in next week to find out what our exorcism but not a horror movie is. Crack open a can of V8 and join us. But in the meantime, you can go and you can rate and review and subscribe on all of the different podcasting formats. And we would love you for that. You can hit up the Patreon. We probably at this point are just about to drop our Patreon episode on Cobra, the Sylvester Stallone Gore Fest. And if you're listening to this episode, the day that it came out, we are in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. As we speak, you should be in Cherry Hill as well. Come and hang out with us. Go and buy a bunch of stuff. We have our brand new shirt. We have our brand new enamel pins. We got some cool shit at the booth, and you should be at the booth with us. So don't waste any more time. If you live near New Jersey, you should be in New Jersey hanging out with us. We'll be back next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.